Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and R-Care. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We are still kicking it here in Chicago at the NIC conference. We have one of our partners of the program, and guys, we could not do this without our partners. We want to welcome to the show Myron Kowal. He is the owner of R-Care. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So
glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you here, right, Josh?
Absolutely.
So, Myron, we've been in relationship with you now for a little while. We've appreciated the partnership, and we're very interested to know the facts behind this sharp-dressed man here. You have a very distinguished look. You're wearing the cowboy boots like myself. And you've got a look going on that people know in the industry. Talk to us about your creativity and your passion behind the senior living industry.
Creativity. Wow. Well, I'm a little guy, so I need to be noticed. And so when I walk into room, the guy with the hat, the long hair, the bow tie, they remember me. And I kind of like that idea. The passion behind the industry here about what we do at R-Care. You know, a while ago, a long time ago, there's the personal story involved here. I don't know how deep we want to get into it, but my mother-in-law was bedridden, and my father-in-law was hard of hearing, and he spent a lot of time in front of the TV set. And she was speaking to my wife on the phone. We were a long distance, and she needed to go to the bathroom. And she couldn't, and she was crying for Waldo, and my wife is on the phone crying as well, and she didn't make it, and it was a real bad situation. And we drove down there the next day, and I went to Radio Shack and bought a transmitter, a receiver, a real loud horn, and a strobe alarm, and I fashioned my very first nurse call system. And the next time my mother-in-law needed Waldo, she pushed the button. Right on top of the TV set was a strobe light and a big loud sound, and he was able to get up and take care of her. So that started everything in my mind. A few years later, when I was downsized and was thinking about what my next career move was going to be, the newspaper said, the largest growth anticipated is going to be in the elder care industry. And I closed that up and I said, honey, we're in the elder care industry. And that was it. That's how it started.
Wow. So take me back. I want to dive in a little bit deeper. Thank you for sharing that personal story, by the way. I think that really communicates well and tells people a lot of the passion behind what you do and what drives you every day. But, you know, I can't help to think if I was in that similar situation, I wouldn't have a clue to go to Radio Shack and piece these things together. So your background prior to that, did you have some on the technology side of things?
Yeah, I always dabbled in it. My training is in philosophy. I do hold a couple of patents that never went anywhere. But, you know, I found myself in this industry trying to find creative solutions to the problems that people are having. And some of them are good and some of them are bad, but we keep plugging along and I think we're making some real progress.
Yeah. So take us back. How many years since you kind of founded your first product and rolled it out?
2002.
So yeah. Since 2002, I know a lot of changes have occurred, not only with your product offerings, constantly on the cutting edge, innovative, things like that. A lot have changed with our space, with the industry. So take us on, you know, kind of world tour of the evolution of R-Care, where you are today, where you're going, and why you think you have a good handle on that.
So technology's changed an awful lot in the past two decades. We think about the advent of the cell phone, things going wireless, the Internet of Things are commonplace, and we keep building on them. But 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. We were heavily involved with telephony, telephone wires. Everybody had a home phone. Now nobody has a home phone. So a lot of what was in the industry assisted living and memory care, just burgeoning, just becoming ideas. And people didn't know exactly how they were going to address the needs of those people at that time. What it started out with was PERS units, you know, little dialers that would sit on a bedside station that had a transmitter and a receiver, and then would call somebody on the telephone and say, hey, this person needed help. The cool thing about that was it had a voice-to-voice connection. So when that person did call for help, they knew someone was coming. Mm-hmm. They felt it. You know, it's like, okay, someone's on the way. I'm going to be okay. Well, as technology progressed, that voice-to-voice aspect, it kind of went away. Because technology with transmitters and receivers, we could text message people and do all kinds of things like that. But when that person pressed the button, they weren't sure that someone was coming. They would hope that someone was coming. And most of the time, they did. Things like Amazon Alexa, and we're doing a pilot project with Fellowship Square in Arizona, where they're working with Amazon, and they've deployed somewhere like 50 units of Amazon Alexa. And with their hospitality suite arrangement, they're able to say, you know, Alexa, I need help. And that would call a caregiver. And we have a voice-to-voice connection, and it says, a caregiver is on the way. It makes people feel like I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that panic that ensues when you're in trouble, you know, can cause a lot of things to happen. So
you work with a lot of communities, a lot of different operators, management platforms, ownership groups. What are some of the themes or patterns you're hearing in feedback on from the operators that they're saying, hey, this is a problem we're having, or this is a change in our population. We really need some solution for this. Are you getting some consistent feedback on anything like that?
We are. The word innovation is all over the place. Everybody's using, you know, we want to innovate. What does that exactly mean? Did you keep trying things, flinging it up against the wall to see whether or not it's going to work? Let's think about this a little bit. Let's take some real empirical steps to find out whether this thing is working and not just, you know, the feel-good answer to things. So we're seeing one of the big things is that is metrics. I'm on a soapbox right now, trying to get people to I'm on answer the call kick, and because we now can get data from all the facilities that we have around the country and aggregate that data to find out what are the mean and average response times to calls. How many calls are we getting? How many caregivers are actually logged in the system in a facility where, you know, this is the number of calls that we have, as opposed to the number of caregivers that are logged into the system. We can see those things right now. And by taking a look at that data, we're trying to give it back to the industry so that they can make those improvements.
I really like that. So if I understand, and help me understand what you just said, because I think it's bigger than what my mind initially told me it was. But what you're able to do is some true benchmarking, not just among a community group or an ownership group, but more a broader comparison on benchmarking against your entire platform, and benchmarks them against maybe all of your providers?
Well, right now we're in an observation mode. So okay. Benchmarking is something that I think that we're going to take to the facilities. On that soapbox, I'm answer the call is what I'm using as my rallying call. But they can create their benchmarks. It changes from cultural aspects of it. The level of care has some difference. You know, just geography and topography have something to do with that. So when we take large amounts of data and try to figure out what's going on, we have to take a look at the individual site to see exactly what's going on with those facilities. But suffice it to say is that when I ask the question, and you can't manage what you don't measure. Mm-hmm. and everyone's managing everything they want about care, but they're not making or making use of the measurements. And we're making people look at them. And I think that's the big thing is you need to take a look at this, draw your own conclusions, and then make the improvements. QAPI was built around that whole thing. The initiative to make those improvements. It's find out what the problem is, think about what a solution is, and measure your effectiveness.
Sure. So I would like to know your perspective, because almost every guest, no matter what part of the industry they come from, whether they're operator, developer, service provider, we end up talking and asking their perspective on where our industry is now, serving the greatest generation through this era where we're all trying to figure out what are the implications on our industry, what are the boomer generation, what are they going to want, what are they going to need. From your perspective on what you guys provide, what are some of the thoughts you have on that as far as looking ahead 5-10 years from now? Where do you see your company migrating to help be a partner to the industry?
So really good question. And I got to tell you that we're always watching out of what's next and what's the Internet of Things is going to be a big game changer. One of the things I found out when working with the fellowship people in Arizona was that we have an assumption that elders are technologically averse, that, you know, they don't want to do this thing. When the fact of the matter is, when shown how to do it, they take to it just as quickly as any other, like learning the remote on the television set. Once they learn how to do it, they're good with it. They like it. They like the result of using technology, like with the Amazon device. We're going to find things that big data is going to be a big part of it, where we're going to monitor people for all kinds of health-related vitals and those kinds of things. When notifying caregivers is going to be something that is automatic rather than deliberate in terms of, okay, there's a bell, it's ringing, check the light, go see it. It's going to say, hey, Mary, you've got to go take a look at what's going on in room 103.
Sure.
And it's going to be directed and directive. And it's going to make improvements. It's going to make huge improvements.
Yeah.
5G is going to be a game changer. Now, on the other side of that coin is there's the regulatory side of things. And cost is always an important aspect of it. So we talk about affordable housing and those kinds of things. In many cases, those guys are not going to be able to afford the infrastructure and the things necessary to do that. So we have to find out how do we backfill that portion of the industry, which actually is huge. It's the biggest part of what we need to do.
Yeah, and gosh, we could talk all day about two of the pillars that you just uncovered, which is how do you do and meet the needs in the most cost-effective way, keep things affordable for this next generation, but also the regulatory environment, which seems to always be playing catch-up. And so, you know, our hope, you know, Lucas, and one of the things in changing the perception of senior living is also, you know, it can be a rally cry to the service providers like yourself, the experts on technology, and the operators to come together with one voice to these regulatory agencies, to these legislators, to force the change, because a lot of times our hands are tied. We have this great technology, but you can't implement it, right?
You know, what the regulation says is that in a skilled environment, that you have to have a bedside station, a light above the room, and a place that dings. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are today. You know where we're going to be in 5 years? We're going to have a bedside station, a light above the door, and a station that goes ding.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, they're not getting too involved in all of this stuff.
Sure.
So, you know, it's antiquated. It's not wrong. It's probably the best place where if we had to have a fail safe, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But taking it to the Internet of Things and talking to people about what can happen, it's going to be tough. And
yeah,
we have to have a unified front of guys.
Sure.
Things. You know, the regulation is all about standards. Everybody wants to make standards. It's hard to come up with standards when the you know, the plethora, that just the huge amount of data and information that's coming at people, like, we can do this, we can do that, oh, we can do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that, and I don't want to chase rabbits here, Lucas, so you reel me in, but I think one of the things that I've been seeing is this trend of assisted living memory care developers. Traditional assisted living memory care developers have been migrating into less regulated environments like independent living, mm-hmm. where they can market to maybe that frail independent living person, but do some of these cutting edge technology implementations and integrations where it's not as highly regulated. And I think, you know, if we can learn some things from those providers and use those as test cases for these regulators and these legislators to say, hey, look, we're basically doing a lot of assisted services. We're doing a lot of things. Look how well. Look at the falls prevention. Look at all of these things. I think that may be a secret ingredient to help have a test case, right?
Absolutely. So if history repeats itself, assisted living was just starting out, people didn't know what it was. Now it's defined. Now it's regulated. There are standards. 15 years ago, those standards really didn't exist. So I think that we're going to accelerate what we are going to look at as standards. But again, the industry has got to kind of sort out what it is, what they want to be able to do, but they've got to see it. They've got to get that empirical data that says this makes improvements.
Yeah.
I want them to look at the data.
Yeah. Well, and to your point on kind of adoption or adaptation of technology towards older adults, I'm living proof. My parents, which are the boomer generation, my grandparents, who are the greatest generation, you're talking about integrated into technology. All of them have iPhones, and I guarantee you they're on them shopping on Amazon and talking to Alexa. My parents got Alexa before I did. And so,
mine too.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
They can afford it.
And I think it's funny that we're still having the conversation of, is technology going to be relevant? Is technology relevant? I think even changing the narrative of that conversation, the context of that conversation, mm-hmm. because it's here. They're willing to adapt to it. But
the boomers are out in front of it.
Absolutely.
They're already participating.
And going to demand it. Absolutely. So thank you for your investment. So I'm excited, you know, as a, not only a podcast partner, but obviously in my day job, we've got one of, in one of our communities, we actually have your system going in the months ahead. It's under construction. So great things to come, a great partner to the industry in our care.
Yeah. Thank you so much for spending time to talk to us today. Any final words that we didn't cover?
I don't know. Again, the amount of technology that's coming at us today, trying to find the best in class kind of stuff to present to the industry is what we're all about. And so, you know, we're playing every day with all these toys, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. I got to tell everybody, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. And I'm having a lot of fun in this industry right now, bringing a lot of technology to people and just doing our job. It feels good.
I love that. And it seems like you guys are really looking to integrate, that you don't have to own every platform. And one of the things that I hear and kind of roll my eyes about on a lot of technology platforms is they think that they have to create everything in-house and take ownership of everything, when oftentimes there's so many other great technologies that you can integrate with and get there a lot faster, right?
Mm-hmm. So we feel like we're the communication hub of a facility. And everything else that needs to communicate can go through us, and we make sure that it gets to the right source. So,
sure. That's awesome.
Fascinating. A great look ahead and a great conversation about technology and senior living. It continues to be just a fascinating conversation that we have, and one that's so realistic and probably a big piece of this phrase that everybody is throwing out there is disruption. Clearly, technology is going to be a big catalyst to doing that. And a great conversation. Myron, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And thanks, everyone, for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap. Josh, what a great time to sit down with the very creatively dressed and just got a great attitude behind him, Myron Kowal of R-Care.
Yeah, it was great to hear Myron's story. his heart and his passion behind what he's done, how he opened up really about, you know, his very personal story. And that translates into his product, his innovation. Great guy. What a great partner. You know, we can't talk enough about what our partners have meant to us as a platform, but to our listeners, right? They've yes. they've enabled us to take this content to the masses, and what a great partner.
It is, and we really appreciate our listeners listening into this. Josh and I have continued to invest everything we've got into this platform to see it grow, and we really could not have gotten to this point without people help supporting us.
Yeah, well, and you know, this group of six partners, R-Care being one of the first that really surrounded us, you know, they believed in us and they were able to take our platform to a whole new level this year. Excited about what's coming in 2020 and beyond because of the investment the partners make, not in just a platform, but in the industry. And that's what they want, you know, communicated, is that they believe in the industry. They believe in raising the bar, influencing the space, and have invested in us to help do that.
And we hope that you've enjoyed listening to these thought leadership pieces. We hope you feel inspired. We hope you feel a sense of creativity on your own side. Josh, we say it a lot. We say, you know, be the bridge. And what we mean by that is that where you are in your own way in the sector that you work in, whether you're at the community level, whether you're a caregiver or you're in the corporate office, or you're a partner to the industry, thinking higher than just your product or service, thinking about how can you be the bridge? Mm-hmm. How can you connect one point to another where a gap may be presented? And we hope that through the podcast, we're able to inspire people to do that.
Be the bridge and join us. That's what we talk about all the time.
You got it. Thanks for listening.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.